This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Hey kids, thanks to Deluxe Diner, it's time now for Pick and Tell with storyteller Leslie Dowding.
This time of year, people are doing a lot of baking. Perhaps it's because something to do with Easter. I'm not sure. I certainly know that there are a lot of hot cross buns around in the shops. Well, this isn't about hot cross buns, but it is something that people quite enjoy. It's something called gingerbread. And this is a lovely story called The Gingerbread Bees. And it comes from Poland in a town called Toruń. Once there was a little town called Toruń which always smelt of gingerbread. On a spring morning when the breeze blew towards the river, merchants arrived and they could smell the ginger wafting through the streets of the bakeries. There were so many of them. As soon as they had unloaded all their goods, they would rush to have breakfast in one of the lovely little waterfront shops where they could have tea and gingerbread cake. The most popular bakery of all was Bartholomew's. It was run by a man whose name was, not surprisingly, Mr. Bartholomew. Now this old baker had business and his reputation for baking cakes was excellent. The whole town would talk about it. Your husband must be a happy man, Mrs. Bartholomew. Surely if anyone has a claim to happiness, it would be him. For the gingerbread crumbs dropped from her mouth as she said, he is the best baker of gingerbread. Oh yes, Mr. Bartholomew is happy, said his wife. Now, he won't be happy until the king tells him that his gingerbread is the best in the whole country. His wife and her friend took a mouthful of lovely, lovely gingerbread and washed it down with a cup of tea. And he decided, she said quietly to her friend, to hire an apprentice called Bogomol. It was known that Bartholomew had designs to marry his lovely daughter with her honey hair and blue eyes to a very wealthy man. Well, that was rather a custom of the day. It was equally well known that the girl was very, very, very happy just to be by herself. She liked to make beautiful clothes. She liked to embroider gloves for people. She loved to pick flowers. And she often made gingerbread heart-shaped biscuits. Well, Mr. Bartholomew was getting very nervous about the king coming to the town to test the best, the most beautiful gingerbread. Now you mustn't worry, said Mrs. Bartholomew. All will be very well. Now the apprentice Mr. Bartholomew made him work so hard day and night, but he loved it. He loved working in the bakery, and there were times when the young man would often go out, away from the hot ovens, and walk along through the forest, looking at flowers, and sometimes sit by the river. There was one morning when he was out walking in the forest, outside the town, and he spotted a bunch of forget-me-nots growing by the river. They were blue, which is of course the colour of forget-me-nots. Bartholomew was on his hands and knees and about to pick the flower when he heard a faint droning sound. He looked up and saw a huge, round, black and orange striped bumblebee. Oh my goodness, it was looking like it was drowning. It was drowning in a little lake of water that the river had made. Without thinking, Bartholomew snatched up the giant sorrel leaf near him, leant out into the water, and helped the bee clamber onto it. He put the leaf down upon the bank and saw that the bee's wings were very wet, and so he moved them into the sun. Soon the bee began to dry out and revive and started to rub its wings. And when it was dry, its buzz grew louder, and eventually it flew off, leaving the young man alone. Now Bogimo was kneeling down again to pick the forget-me-nots when he heard the chirp of a small bird perched upon a twig at the side of this little pond. Imagine his surprise when he looked closer and saw that it was not a bird, but a tiny little fairy. A tiny one, no bigger than his little finger, sitting on a throne. She must be a very important fairy. Bogimo took respectfully and bowed, and it was the fairy queen. The queen spoke not into a chirp, but said, "I am the queen of the honey dwellers, and I have come to reward you for the good deed that you did to the bumblebee. My people live on the golden honey made by the bees of this forest. And when the queen bee fell into the lake, we thought that the end had come, for without her, the bees cannot work." Of course, it was a lake to them, but only a small little drop of water to Bogimo. "If she had died, the working bees would have died too, and we'd have no more honey for our people." The young man was speechless. "Listen to me carefully," she said, "and you will become the most famous baker in Torren, and your town will be known forever as the gingerbread town. Remember, when you bake your gingerbread, as well as adding spices, to add a spoonful of honey from me." And she gave him a little pot of forest honey. Bogimo couldn't thank her enough, and suddenly she disappeared, including her throne. And when he looked down, it was actually looking more like a twig. He rubbed his eyes, not sure if he was dreaming. He forgot about the flowers and ran all the way back to the bakery. The streets were full of people, though. "Good God, my boy, where on earth have you been? The king is coming tomorrow," said Mr. Bartholomew. "The king is coming tomorrow." Bogimo decided he must go straight to the bakery. Now, Mr. Bartholomew was a bit cross that the boy was late, and he saw his apprentice. "Come on, the ovens are in the kitchen and all hot and ready. Come on, roll out this gingerbread dough. Come on, where have you been? Don't you know the king is coming tomorrow?" Ah, Bogimo said 1,000 times that he was sorry he was late. He took out the dough and began to make the recipe. He added cloves and cinnamon, black pepper and ginger to it. And when the old baker and his wife weren't looking, he took out the jar of forest honey and added a spoonful to the mixture. And then, unexpectedly, he cut the gingerbread into different shapes. Flowers, hearts, even a bee. And in remembrance of the queen, he cut some tiny crowns. Now, by this time, it was nightfall. But he baked all night. And early in the morning, Mr. Farmer Bartholomew got up and knocked on his door. "Come on, you lazy rascal, it's time to get to work." His wife was already in the bakery. Her husband carried out the trays of gingerbread. They weren't quite sure about Bogimo's good creations, but they put them carefully on a silver tray. "Ah, sometimes he might be a bit late," said Mr. Bartholomew, "but he does seem to have a bit of a gift for baking." There was such a gleam about his gingerbread biscuits that day, they might have almost been made of gold. Mr. Bartholomew didn't utter anything out loud. "Come on, boy, hurry up." Bogimo rubbed the old sign above the baker's to make sure it was polished and the king could see it. It said, "Mr. Bartholomew's Bakery." Then looking in, he saw, reflecting, the king's horses are coming. There was a roar of the crowd. "Get down off the ladder," said Mr. Bartholomew. "Come on, put it away, clean your hands, get yourself out here." By the time the king arrived at Bartholomew's shop, he and the royal children were already stuffed full of gingerbread. Oh dear, the old baker sighed. Wasn't much hope for him. When the king approached Mr. Bartholomew, he bowed, of course, and his wife curtsied, and the young man took a deep breath. The king stepped forward and chose the gingerbread crown from the silver tray. The king's little son and daughter each picked up a gingerbread bee. The king ate one crown, then another, and another. His children munched their way through the swarm of gingerbread bees. Even though they'd eaten so much, they still felt hungry. They ate the bunch of gingerbread flowers. "Who baked these marvellous biscuits?" cried the king. The old baker bowed again, but Mrs. Bartholomew pointed proudly at the young man. "This is the most delicious gingerbread I have ever tasted," the king said. He picked up the gingerbread crown. "Tell me, young man, what did you do to make this gingerbread so special?" Well, he didn't know quite what to say. "I think that this is the best I've ever tasted. How did you do this? What did you do?" "Well," said the king, "I would love to know your secret." And without any doubt in his mind, Bogimore told the king that he had added forest honey to the recipe. "What a clever and genius thought!" Mr. Bartholomew was terribly proud. "Get me a scribe at once," said the king. "I wish to grant this town a royal charter and bestow upon it the exclusive right to bake honey gingerbread for the king's market from now and this day forward." Well, Mr. Bartholomew couldn't have been more proud. He patted the young man. "I'm sorry if I have been a bit grumpy towards you," he said. "That's all right." And so the apprentice stayed, and Mr. Bartholomew's daughter and him would gather the honey and enjoy walks and picking flowers. And of course, you know and I know that later on he ended up marrying. And Mr. Bartholomew retired from the bakery, but young Bogimore and his new wife carried on. His gingerbread got better and better until he was the most famous gingerbread maker, not just in the town, but in the whole area, and people came for miles and miles to eat it because it was just so delicious. Welcome to Pick a Tale. We're looking at animals that became very, very famous a long time ago. Now, this story is a really special one about a bear. And I think you're going to know a lot about this bear. And I think you might even have books at home about this bear, or seen it on television, or in a movie. Well, this bear, he was a tiny little cub. And a long time ago, in a country called Canada, in a town called Winnipeg, there was a lovely, kind man who was a vet. And he looked after all the animals in the area. He was just about finished all of his training when he was asked to go across the world to look after animals during the Second World War. Now, before he left, he had to learn a lot about training and camping, looking after himself. So while he was at a camp one day, he was just looking outside his tent when a man came out from the forest carrying a tiny little brown bear. What a sweet little bear he was. Now, the vet wanted to know how he came to be carried by this man. Now, the man was a hunter, and he'd found the bear who'd lost its mother. "I'm a vet, I'll look him over," he said. "Do you think you could look after him for a while?" said the hunter.
"Until we can find him a home." "I'm sure I can," said the hunter. And so the hunter disappeared, and the lovely vet, he decided he could care for the bear. But it wasn't long before he realized that he was having to go overseas. And there, overseas, he would have to check that everything was round with the bear. Now, his name was Harry, and he just couldn't find anyone to look after it. So Harry decided, well, maybe I'll take the bear with me. And so off Harry went on the ship until he traveled thousands of miles right into the heart of another country, where he was going to be very, very carefully looking after animals. He arrived in London with the little bear who had been so loved on the ship by everyone. I think I could just take him to the zoo, said Harry. So he took the bear to the zoo. Now, the London Zoo had always wanted a bear, but of course that was very hard to do. Could you look after this bear? I have to go to France, and then when I come back, I hope that maybe I can pick him up and take him back home with me. Of course, said the zoo, we would be absolutely delighted. It would be the most wonderful thing for us to go and look after this beautiful bear. And so the bear, we're looking at a long time ago, well over 100 years, the bear stayed at the zoo. Now the zoo, he was just so loved by all the children that came and went. But before Harry left, the zookeeper said, what shall we call your bear? And Harry said, well, we're from Winnipeg, so maybe Winnie would be a good idea. Now, Winnie became a mascot for the Canadian soldiers during World War I. And before being left at the zoo, she was known to be friendly and gentle and kind. She hadn't been there very long when a young boy called Christopher Robin Mill, who loved visiting the zoo, went and found the bear. They were so surprised, his father and him, that the bear loved things like tinned milk, which was called condensed milk, of course. And, well, really, Winnie was just so loved that Christopher went all the time. Now, Christopher's father, he was a very clever man and a very good writer. And so it was quite easy for him to make up stories about Winnie for Christopher. Christopher also liked the geese and the ducks, and he always laughed that they made big poos everywhere on the pavement. Well, one day when they were visiting the bear, Christopher said, I'm going to call this bear Winnie the Pooh. And so when Christopher's father got home, he began to write a story about the bear. Now you're probably wondering, did Winnie go back to Canada? Well, of course, the war lasted a lot longer than anyone expected. So when Harry went back to the zoo, little bear cub had grown into quite a big bear. I can't possibly take him on a ship now, said the vet. I think if it's possible, I'd like to leave him at the zoo. Well, the zookeepers were thrilled because they said he's so loved by all the children. It would be such a shame to lose him. So Winnie stayed in the zoo, and Harry went back all the way to Canada. And in Winnipeg, he made a statue, or he had a statue made, for the bear. And you can see it if you ever go there. And so that is how the story came together of another animal that somehow ended up over a hundred years ago in a war. But of course he wasn't actually in it. But that's how Winnie the Pooh, the stories that you now know and love, and maybe we can tell later, that is how they came about. And that is how Winnie the Pooh, in the teddy bear story kind, came about. Thank you for listening to that story today. Welcome to Pick a Tale. My goodness, I think the holidays have started by now. I hope everyone is cozy at home or out and about. The stories this week are all about animals. Animals from a long time ago, because very soon, about the end of April, in May, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, people will be celebrating and you will see lots of red poppies everywhere. And these poppies are to commemorate people from 100 years ago who left New Zealand and went overseas to help other countries. I thought it might be interesting for you to know about some really famous animal stories that were about 100 years ago. The first one I'm going to tell you is called Torty the Tortoise. Now, Torty the Tortoise was very, very tiny, and he was living in a very, very busy place. There were lots and lots of tanks and trucks and large vehicles crossing the road where he lived. He had to be very, very careful. Now, as you know, and I know, tortoises are very, very slow. In fact, they're so slow that they take a long time to go anywhere. Sometimes they can take almost an hour to cross a road. It depends how busy it is, of course. Well, on this particular warm and sunny day, Torty the Tortoise was crossing the road. He looked this way and that way. He looked this way and that way, and there was nothing coming at all. So he began to go slowly, slowly, slowly across the road. Now, Torty the Tortoise loved the warmth of the sun on his shell, and he was quite happy just to enjoy the day. Now, he got to the other side of the road when, out of the blue, when no one saw it coming, a large tank, which is something that's used during wartime to transport people, came down the road so fast. And it did a bit of a wiggle and a bit of a squiggle and just clipped Torty the Tortoise on his shell. So much of a clip that after it had left, you could see the markings of it. Now, at this particular time, a young New Zealand soldier was marching along the road. And there was Torty, rather shocked, if you can imagine. So the soldier picked him up, dusted him off, and popped him in his rucksack and took him back to his camp. Now, the soldier was about to come back to New Zealand on a very large ship. He found Torty some water, and he found Torty something to eat, and he popped him inside his rucksack. Then it was time for him to go down to a large port and board a very large ship back to New Zealand. Torty the Tortoise was very cozy inside the rucksack. It was warm and very comfortable. But he did feel a bit strange when things started to move. Well, the soldier looked after Torty and all his friends did the whole time they were on the ship. And then, not long, maybe a few weeks, the ship stopped and the soldier found he was back in New Zealand on his home shores. He got off the ship and made his way all the way home to where his parents lived in Napier. You can't imagine their surprise when out of his rucksack he took Torty the Tortoise. Now, Napier was a lovely, warm and sunny place, and so Torty was very, very happy. And Torty the tortoise stayed there. In fact, he still lives near there. And he's now, how can you imagine how old Torty is? Well, he's over 100 years old. He is so famous that at the moment he's down in Wellington at Te Papa Museum, where he's on show for people to see. And you know, the soldier has long gone, but his family care for Torty. I hope you hear more about Torty the tortoise over the next few weeks. And maybe when you go back to school, you can tell your class. Or even if you're not at school, you can tell your family all about Torty the tortoise. Thank you for listening to that story today.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.